This revelation was given to a lady, Mary Baxter. And the Lord came and took Mary to hell and showed her through hell. And he gave her some revelations of these days and also the time to come. And I thought I'd share what the Lord shared with her and offer some interpretation. And if anybody here feels any other interpretation, we'll be sure to share it. I'm kind of taken off in the middle of her revelation here because of the particular part I wanted to share with you. But this chapter that I'm starting in is entitled The Heart of Hell. And it goes on, at night I went with Jesus into hell. During the day, hell was ever before my eyes. I tried to tell others about what I was seeing, but they would not believe me. I felt so very alone, and only by the grace of God could I go on. All glory belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. The next night, Jesus and I went back to hell. We walked along the edge of the belly of hell, and I recognized parts of it from being there before. The same rotting flesh, the same odor of evil, the same stale smell. Hot air was everywhere. I was already very tired. Jesus knew my thoughts and said, "I'll never leave you or forsake you. I know you are weary, but I will strengthen you." Jesus touched me and strengthened me, and we walked on. Ahead, I saw a large black object, almost as big as a baseball field, which seemed to be moving up and down. I remembered that I had been told that this was the heart of hell. Remember, this is a metaphor. It's a revelation. You have to see something in it more than just the letter, okay? Coming out of this black heart were what looked like large arms or horns. They were coming out of it and going up and out of hell into the earth and over the earth. I wondered if these horns were the ones the Bible spoke about. In amazement, I looked at this evil heart and wondered what was its purpose. Jesus said, "These branches, which look like arteries of a heart, are pipelines that go up through the earth to spill out evil upon it. These are the horns that Daniel saw, and they represent evil kingdoms on the earth. Some have already been, and some shall be, and some are now. Evil kingdoms will arise, and the Antichrist will rule over many peoples, places, and things. If possible, the very elect will be deceived by him. Many will turn away and will worship the beast in his image. Out of these main branches or horns, smaller branches will grow. Out of the smaller branches will come demons, evil spirits, and all manner of evil forces. They will be released upon the earth and instructed by Satan to do many evil works. These kingdoms and evil forces will obey the beast, and many will follow him to destruction. It is here in the heart of hell that these things begin." And if you remember, that's also what Revelation 18 says. The beast from the bottomless pit, right? His nature and his life come out of hell. I read that particular part because it explained the horns that came out of the heart. And I'm going to jump ahead now and read a chapter on these horns. Jesus said, "Tonight, my child, we will go to a different part of the heart of hell. I want to tell you about the horns and to show you how they will be used to funnel evil spirits and demon forces up to the surface of the earth." As Jesus spoke, I began to witness an open vision. In the vision, I saw an old farmhouse, dead and gray looking, surrounded with many dead trees and high dead grass. Well, what's a farmhouse for? It's a place where those live who sow the seeds, right, from the farm, right? Okay. That's where this farmhouse was in hell. Okay. The yard around the farmhouse was littered with dead things. There was no life. The farmhouse looked as though it had settled at the corners and was sinking into the center of the field. There were no other buildings in sight. Death was everywhere. I knew that this farmhouse was part of hell, but I could not yet understand what I was seeing. Inside, behind the dingy windows, loomed large shadows in human shapes. There was something evil about their appearance. One of the shapes moved toward the front door and opened it. Let me go back just a second. You know, in James chapter 3, 5 and 6, it talks about how the tongue is a fire. And how that fire is set on fire by hell itself. You know? If this farm is in the heart of hell, and it's a place where seed is sown, and we know how seed is sown on the earth spiritually by Jesus, His word is spoken. He called that the seed. The spoken word is the seed, right? But spoken words that are of the old nature, spoken words of the flesh, spoken words of the devil, spoken words that are of demon spirits, all that's a seed also. And it's a seed that comes out of hell, according to James chapter 3 and 5 and 6. So she saw inside this farmhouse shapes of human beings, and one of them is coming to the door. I watched as a huge man with extremely large muscles came out of the door and walked onto the porch. I saw him clearly. He was about 6 feet tall. Six, that's the number of man, right? With a bulky build of a weightlifter. That is indicative of the strength of this beast, okay? His color was the same dead gray as the surroundings. He wore only a pair of men's pants, and they were as gray and dead-looking as the bare skin of his upper body. His flesh was like scales. It reminds you of the dragon, right? The beast, the dragon, in Revelation 13. And his head was very big. In fact, his head was so large that his legs were bowed from carrying such a great load. You know, the head of the beast government is going to be a very heavy thing for the nations to carry. It's going to be a large government, the largest government that there's ever been, the head of the beast government, the head of the beast body, the government, okay? His feet were hooked like the feet of a pig, the walk of the flesh, right? You see that, the walk of the flesh? His face was stern and evil, and he looked to be very old. You know, a lot of people just see the beast that's coming. According to Daniel's revelation, you know, there's always been a beast on this earth, ruling this earth, you know. And he showed us that those beasts were the ruling governments that ruled over men, you know. His eyes were dead, and his face was very broad. You know, we can see the face of the Lord around the world in His people, can't we? You know, we see, according to 2 Corinthians, we see the Lord as we look in the mirror, you know. As we're transformed into His image from glory to glory, the face of the Lord is manifested to people around us. Well, the face of the beast is the same way. The face of the beast is that image that the flesh portrays, that image that the devil, through people, portrays to the rest of the world. The face of the beast is very broad, it says. In the vision, I saw this awful creature walk off the old porch, and the earth shook as he moved. And horns were growing out of the top of his head, large horns that grew up, up, and out of sight. Again, remember the vision of the heart with the horns growing out of it, up to the earth and over the earth and so on. This vision is obviously similar, you know. And as he walked, I saw that the horns were growing ever so slowly. Other horns also began to grow from his head. little horns sprang from the bigger ones. I saw that his head was like a beast, a powerful, evil beast, full of destruction. Each step he took shook the earth. Jesus said, "Watch." I saw the horns as they wended their way upward and ended in homes, churches, hospitals, offices, and buildings of all kinds all over the earth. Remember how that Mark had a dream. Remember Mark's dream he had about a year ago? In that he was going to this church and there was a big agreement around the world and they'd made one church. And anyway, he was going to this big church and he ended up going into the quarters behind the sanctuary where the ministers met. And while he was in there, he had kind of stumbled in there by accident, according to the vision. While he was in there, he noticed that they were showing a film on how to give people the mark of the beast. And they were showing this film to ministers. And they were instructing them how to beam this light across people's heads to give them the mark of the beast. And Mark got very afraid, and he ran out. Okay? Well, you know, that sounds impossible because people think, well, it's not going to be ministers that give the mark of the beast. People think that. But the Bible is clear that the Antichrist or the son of perdition or ministers are going to be the ones that are going to be deceiving God's people in these days. And just as these horns of this beast wended their way upward and ended up in homes and churches, the horns of the beast, which according to Daniel's revelation were people, and according to the book of Revelation are people. You remember the 10 horns on the beast, which were 10 kings? Literally 10 kingdoms there were involved in these horns. Okay? But these horns were ending up in churches, in hospitals, in offices, and in buildings all over the earth. And the horns did great damage throughout the land. I saw the beast speak, and evil spirits were spit out on the earth. I saw many people seduced by these demonic forces and fall into Satan's snares. Okay? We are in a war, good against evil, I thought. We are in a war, I heard the Spirit of the Lord say, good against evil. Dark clouds came out of the horns and hid the many forms of evil that were going out upon the earth. All the abominations that God hates were there. I saw kingdoms arising out of the earth, and millions of people began to follow these evil forces. I saw the old horns removed and the new ones grow in their places. You see, that also shows it's people. These horns have been around since the beginning of time. But they are removed and new ones take their places. Why? Because people are removed. Just like
power.
Right. Like the 10 horns in the book of Revelation. Like the 2 horns of the Antichrist that came up. Like the little horn that came up among the 10 horns. You know? Always there's always been powers upon the earth. I heard Jesus say, "This is the beginning. This is beginning to happen now. This is beginning to happen now. These things are and were and will be. Men will become lovers of themselves instead of God. Evil will be rampant in the last days. Men and women will love their homes, cars, lands, buildings, businesses, their silver and their gold more than me." Boy, pay attention to that, because that's going to be one of the things that's going to draw people back into the world. Many people are going to be deceived by the beast because they're going to be willing to believe a lie in order to keep their things. Okay? We've got help like that, right? Repent, he said, the Lord said. For I am a jealous God, and nothing can be placed before your worship of me, not sons or daughters or wives or husbands, for God is a spirit, and he must be worshipped in spirit and in truth. I watched as the horns moved over the face of the earth, rising high into the heavens. New kingdoms arose, and there was war and destruction throughout the land. They that worshipped the beast were many. The evil beast with the horns walked back and forth as his thinking, and the earth shook under his weight. After some minutes, he returned to the farmhouse. Dark clouds arose, and many were dead in the land. I saw the world in the midst of great tribulation, and I began praying with all my heart. O Lord, help us, I cried out. Here's another simile. It says, then two large beasts in spirit forms arose out of the earth. Remember that beneath the earth, in the heart of hell, there was a beast. His horns went up and went into all the earth. And these horns brought forth evil spirits and brought forth the nature of the beast upon the earth. And now she sees on the earth two large beasts in spirit form. And they arise out of the earth. They began to make war with each other. I knew they came from hell. When I was reading this, I felt like the Lord pointed out to me that this is the eastern and the western leg of Daniel's vision. You know, those two have been in war for years. You know, in one form or another, in one country or another, there's been a struggle worldwide between east and west. The eastern leg of Daniel's vision and the western leg. I guess in a mini form you could say NATO and Warsaw, you know, in a mini form, you know, although that doesn't cover the whole thing. But it says they came out of hell, and that's where the beast comes from, right? The beast from the bottomless pit. Okay, the revelation goes on. A sea of people stood watching the fight between these two evils. And then I saw something rise from the ground between them. They stopped fighting and stood on each side of a big ship. Both beasts tried to destroy the ship, but they could not. They pushed it back beneath the earth and buried it between the two of them. I'll give you what I feel about the ship, okay? We've already had revelations here about a ship, a gospel ship, you know, that was not only full of good people, but bad people. It was the ship visible. We talked the other night about visible kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God that Jesus said doesn't come with observation, you know. The visible kingdom of God is full of corruption. What people are calling the kingdom of God is full of corruption. I believe the ship is indicative of that, and maybe also the kingdom that unites that. For instance, in Daniel's revelation, the beast had a little horn that came up among the ten horns, these ten nations that were confederate, giving their power to the beast, Revelation says. The ten kings gave their power to the beast. Okay? But among that came up the little horn that everybody calls, and they're correct, the Antichrist. In that revelation, Antichrist and beast were one. Okay? In Revelation 13, there are two beasts. Okay? The first beast is this seven-head, ten-horned beast. Okay? And also, it was given a mouth that spoke great things. And the Lord showed me that mouth was Antichrist. Again, those beasts are united there. Then, in the last part of Revelation 13, he separates the smaller beast from the bigger beast. The smaller beast being Antichrist with the two horns that went and deceived the earth into worshiping the first beast, right? I believe this ship is indicative of that united beast, okay? Because when we go on, I believe you can see that. You know, for instance, that Hitler and Mussolini, when they united, they had the blessing of the Catholic Church. Sort of an East and West uniting, an indication of something that was coming down the road. Two beasts who united in a common purpose, and they were had the blessing of religion. I believe the same thing is going to happen. They're going to have the blessing of religion. The revelation goes on. They stood face to face, and well, let me go back just a second, because they tried to destroy this ship. They pushed this ship below the surface. Think about this now. In both East and West, there has been an effort to destroy Christ's work. They have taken the Bible out of the schools. They've taken prayer out of the schools. They've done everything they can. They've passed laws to limit your ability to be a Christian. In the East, obvious, much more obvious in the East, you know, that they have tried to destroy religion. But you know something else that people have pushed in the background for years before the East and West uniting, and that is the UN. It's been pushed in the background. President Reagan wanted to run them out of the country. Did you know that? They wanted to take the UN building and send it overseas. That's what they wanted to do. They wanted to get out of it. That's what President Reagan wanted, and people kicked against it so much. But they were being fairly well ignored by the leader nations, because there was no unity there between East and West, okay? In that way, they were trying to push it underneath the earth, okay? Okay, the revelation goes on. They stood face to face again, ready to resume their warfare. And I heard a voice say, "Watch." As I watched, a light appeared on the ground where the ship was buried. Notice it's light here now, okay? Appearing on the ground where the ship was buried. The ship then reappeared on the surface of the ground and became a large disc. One thing that popped into my mind was a vision of that I've seen a picture of the UN General Assembly building. You know, right up in the front of the UN General Assembly building is a big disc. And on it is two olive branches on either side of the earth. On this big disc. It's a symbol of peace and unity for the earth, right? A disc is a symbol of unity anyway. If you look in Daniel 3 and 1, read that, Mary. Turn to Daniel 3 and 1, read that for me.
Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 3 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon.
Okay, the plain of Dura. And you know, Dura means circle. You know, it's a symbol of unity. Or, if you want to call a circle the earth there, it may symbolize the earth. Okay? A door, I'm going to read go on with the revelation here. It says, a door in the front of the disc opened. And a strong beam of light revealed a flight of stairs. The stairs went down, down into the earth, and I heard a voice say, "Into hell." So whatever the ship was, it had light coming from it. But the light wasn't the kind of light that we as Christians know as light. This is a false light. It's a false light out of hell. You know, some people, you know, claim to be bringing you light, revelation, right? When really it's not God's light and God's revelation. Well, that's the kind of deception that's going to come out of this thing. A strong delusion, as a matter of fact. There was a strong sense of evil in the air, and I felt lost and undone as I watched. A paralyzing force came out of the disc, and I had nowhere to run. I felt trapped, even though I was in the spirit. It's like deception, you know. Almost at once, Jesus lifted me up higher, and higher until I was looking down on the vision. But now the stairs had become an escalator, which was moving up and down from the heart of the earth. When I was beside Jesus, I felt safe and protected. "It shall come out of hell," I heard a voice say. And Jesus said, "This shall be, this is yet to come, right for all to know." In my vision, the escalator was bringing up demon forces and evil spirits. The two beasts stood, one on each side of the ship. And I saw them begin to change again. I heard the sound of a great roar, the sound of motors running at a high rate of speed. The beasts' heads got large, and a light began to fill their hands. You know, the beasts, just like all the beasts in the past, if you go back and study them, you know, the kingdoms in the past, you know that they have used religion to come to power. This beast had a light in his hand, you know. These beasts had a light in their hand. Their methods of uniting mankind into one head is going to be religion. They're going to use religion to unite. Just like Constantine used religion to unite his kingdom. Just like Hitler and Mussolini used religion to unite their kingdom. I saw the two beasts and the ship as the three of them were joined together. And we see that happening right now. Jesus just got through telling us. I mean, he got this revelation back at the end of the 70s, about the beginning of the 80s. And we see this happening now. The uniting of those two beasts that have been warring for years. The uniting around that ship. Okay? The three of them were joined together. Just like the little horn was joined with the ten horns, you know, religion and the ten nation confederacy there in Daniel's vision. East and West united by the UN. Many souls, as if walking in their sleep, marched into one of the beasts. Remember, this is a simile, this is a metaphor. You ever noticed how you try to tell people about the gospel? And if there's no light of God there, if there's no drawing there, they look at you like you're a fool. It's like they're asleep. It's like they can't understand a word you're saying. You ever notice that? Well, that's the way it is in this metaphor. This is not literal. It says they were walking as if they were asleep. And they marched into one of the beasts. For hours I watched this gruesome sight until at last one of the beasts was packed with people. As I listened from the first beast came a great roar as if a plane was getting ready to take off. The beast had gotten his power from the ship. Oh, think about it now. This one beast got his power from the ship, and he was getting ready to take off. What would taking off be in Christian language? You remember we're likened to eagles? You know, that when we fly, we overcome the world, right? Well, think about this first beast who got his power from the ship that took off. You know what I think that means? Conquering the world. As he began to fly, he was again in the form of a man. And as he flew, his head seemed to be full of lights, and great powers emanated from him. As he disappeared into the heavens, his head became the ship again. Who was riding upon the beast in Revelation 18? The harlot. Who was the head of the beast there at that particular time in history? The harlot, right? The ship. Remember the ship that Justin saw in his vision. It was an open vision he had. The ship he saw was the visible kingdom of God. Okay? Okay, but this was one of the beasts that came to world dominion with the power of the ship, or with the power of the UN, or with the power. Has this just happened, or what? Who used the power of the UN to conquer Iraq? Who was mostly involved in this thing? U.S. and the West was involved in this, using the power of the UN to conquer the world, to come to power. Right now, the East is rather weak, isn't it? You know, because of their turmoil, because of their economic collapse, their problems, they're kind of weak. But there's one beast, the Western beast, has risen to power first, right? It's going to be completed there. says, I could still hear the sound of the first beast as I watched the second beast fill up with souls. And when he was full, I saw the second beast begin to go straight up like a rocket. You know, I think that we're going to see the East come to power very quickly. You know, the first one took off like a plane. This one went straight up like a rocket. You know? He joined the other beast. And they both moved slowly away into the gray sky. The second beast also had also taken on the form of a man. A corporate man, right? Okay. I heard their loud roar as they went out of sight. Again, I think what it is about them flying is overcoming or conquering the world. Through the power, it said definitely through the power of the ship. The ship gave them their power. Right? I wondered what this meant, and I saw the ship, or the disc, settle itself back into the earth. And the earth closed up over it until it was again out of sight. As the vision began to fade, I saw a large courtroom, and I thought of the great white throne judgment. You know, those that rebelled against Moses, this thought just came to me, you know. If you remember, we studied the Korah rebellion, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And Korah was a priest, but Dathan and Abiram weren't priests. They had no business in taking any of the authority of God. But the earth swallowed them up, didn't it? Yeah. And after the rebellion, the earth swallowed them up. Well, that's the end of one revelation, but I wanted to share with you another one along the same lines. Okay? In this chapter, it says, an open visions from hell. Okay? And I'm picking these out because they appear to be similar, or at least talking about the same thing. Okay? Over a span of time, yes. The Lord came and took her to hell many, many nights. And, yeah, the vision about hell, I think, is very edifying, although I'm not picking that part out, you know, because, believe me, you have a higher respect for hell when you get through with this revelation. It says, this vision is for the future, said the Lord. And remember, this was back at the beginning of the 80s. And it will come to pass. But I shall return to redeem my bride. Okay? And they shall not see it. Now, as I read on in this revelation, you're going to see a lot of people of God going through this revelation. So he's definitely talking about two groups of people here. He said, my bride will not see it. This vision is fixing to tell you. My bride will not see. It will not be in this vision. Okay? But as we read the vision, you'll see many people are going to be in it. Many of God's people are going to be in it. Okay? Awaken, O my people. Sound the alarm to the corners of the earth, for I shall return as my word is spoken. I beheld the fiery serpent that was in the left leg of hell. Okay, I'm leaving that out because I didn't give you that revelation. Okay? Jesus said, come, see what the Spirit is saying to the world. I saw the horns of the fiery serpent. This is another simile to the beast we saw and the heart of hell that we saw. Okay? I saw the horns of the fiery serpent as they entered the bodies of the people on earth. Many were completely possessed by the serpent. As I watched, I saw a huge beast arise in a large place and turn into a man. The inhabitants of the earth ran from him, some into the wilderness and some into caves and some into subway stations and bomb shelters. They sought any shelter to hide from the eyes of the beast. Obviously, you know, the beast is going to know a lot, and people are going to try to hide their workings from him, you know. Is that right? Right. And that's happening. The beast is reaching for our hearts right now. You know, and it's nothing but humanism. That's all the beast in his nature is humanism. You know, it's reaching for our hearts now. It's been since the beginning of time doing that. It says no one was praising God or talking about Jesus. You know, believe me, you know, we think about the great witness that there's going to be for Christ in these terrible days. But let me tell you something. I've read a little history, and from what I can see from history, is there's going to be a lot of underground church and not much above ground church. Because if you say something about Jesus, they're going to mark you as one of them. You know what I'm talking about? And the world is going to turn rabidly against Christianity. It's not going to be healthy for you to be talking about Jesus. You know, the Bible even talks about in the days when the sun shall be dark and the moon won't give her light. The moon won't give her light. What does that mean? Well, yeah, the moon in Revelation 12, you know, this woman who stood upon the moon, it was the position of the church standing upon the moon. You know, the moon reflects the light of the sun. It represents the church, you know. But the moon won't give her light. And the stars are going to fall from heaven. And there's going to be a great falling away, too. A voice said to me, "Where are my people?" I looked closer and I saw people like dead men walking. And that's the way it is today, too. They're dead men walking. They're dead. When they don't know Christ, they're dead. There was a desperate sadness in the air, and no one turned to the right or the left. I saw that the people were being led about by some unseen force. You know, it's true. People are in bondage to the devil. We're not wrestling with principalities. We're not wrestling with flesh and blood. We're wrestling with the principalities and powers that are forcing people. You know, and if we see that, we can love them and we can care for them, you know. But if we don't, we'll just wrestle with principalities and powers. Now and then a voice spoke to me out of the air. Spoke to them out of the air. And they obeyed the voice. They did not talk to one another. I saw, too, that the number 666 was written on each one's forehead and on their hands. I saw soldiers on horses herding the people about as though they were cattle. You know, maybe it'd be a good idea to mention here, too, that in numerics, the number 666 is indicative of the world, the earth, and man. Because when you take the Greek word world, and you add up the Greek letters, each Greek letter is used also for a number. You add up the Greek letters, it comes up to 600. And then you take the word earth, and you add up the Greek letters, and it comes up to the number 60. And then 6 is the number of man. So 666 indicates whatsoever is of the world is earthly, and is man. You know, the old nature of man, the beast, right? So he saw these soldiers on horses herding the people about as though they were cattle. You know, another thing I might point out, you know, we see a big move in the world towards democracy. See? The world over. You know, years back people thought, well, the beast is definitely going to be communistic, right? But here we see this big move towards democracy. And I felt like the Lord showed me was that the beast is not going to be forced upon the world. They are going to choose the beast. They're going to choose. It's not going to be the beast, as some people have said, conquering by warfare the world. The world is going to choose the beast. But you say, well, these soldiers on horses were herding the people like cattle. Did you know that you can be in bondage to something and still love it and worship it? Think how that's possible. The flesh. You're in bondage to your flesh, but you still love it and worship it. You understand what I'm saying? The devil, the people of the world, they're in bondage to him, but he's the god of this world. They worship him because of his nature, the flesh. You don't know what the... You know, when Jesus said, "You see me, you've seen the Father, but when you see the flesh, you've seen the devil." You know, that's just the way it is. Okay? So you can be in bondage to something and still think it's the greatest thing. You know? And that's the way the world is going to see this beast. They're going to see this as their salvation. But they're going to be in bondage to it. And the reason they're going to be bondage to it is it indicates their own nature. It is the way of the world. You know? The American flag, tattered and torn, lay forlornly on the ground. There was no joy, no laughter, no happiness. I saw death and evil everywhere. Y'all remember when I read George Washington's vision, that it appeared like a great unity of nations came against the United States and conquered it. You know that in the end of this beast, there's going to be peace at the beginning. There's going to be unity. There's going to be agreement. But that unity is going to be broken up by the Lord. Just like all, when the nations came against Israel, God turned them against one another and they destroyed one another. The same thing, all nations are going to be gathered together against Israel, spiritually and physically. Because this nation, this beastly corporation of nations, is not only going to come against God's people according to the letter of the Old Testament, but God's people according to the spirit of the New Testament. They're going to come against it. And when that happens, when they're through crucifying the people of God, then God's going to divide their little tower of Babel against one another. He's going to break up their tongue. They're going to come against one another. They're going to destroy one another. So the American flag was on the ground. There was no joy and no happiness. He says, I saw death and evil everywhere. The people walked one behind the other to a large department store. Again, see this in the spirit, don't see it in the flesh. They kept in step like discouraged soldiers and were dressed identically in a type of prison garb. Think about it, man. They were dressed identically in a type of prison garb. You know, the Bible tells us to dress up, put on the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? But the world is dressing up too. And they're dressing up identically with the mind of the flesh, with the works of the flesh. And it is in prison garb because they're in bondage to their own nature. You see that? It's a spiritual revelation. If you don't see it in the spirit, it's worthless. As a matter of fact, I believe many Christians are going to be deceived in the days ahead because they see spiritual revelations in the letter. You know there's going to be ministers saying, this isn't the beast. The beast is that man that's to come. This isn't those days. Those days are to come. We don't even see the man, the beast, you know, coming. See what I'm talking about? Because they've read and seen in the flesh the Word of God. They're going to deceive many into thinking that this is not the beast, that this is not those days. They are going to be the ones deceiving them. The preachers, the false ministers, the ones who are seeing the Word of God in the flesh, they're going to be the great deceivers of God's people. Not the world, but God's people. God's people ain't going to swallow the world stuff. You understand? It's the ministers that are going to deceive them. A large fence surrounded the store, and guards were stationed here and there. Everywhere I looked, I saw soldiers in battle-dressed uniforms. I saw these zombie-like people herded into the store where they were able to buy only the barest necessities. You know, they're said zombie-like. But that's the way the people of the world are. You know, they're in bondage to their flesh. They can see no other way. They cannot understand. They can't see the kingdom of heaven. They're not born again. They can't see the kingdom of heaven. They're walking dead, according to the scriptures. As each completed his purchase, he was placed aboard a large green army truck. The truck, well guarded, was then driven to another area. Here, in a type of clinic, these people were examined for communicable diseases or crippling handicaps. A small number of them were shuffled to the side as rejects. Watch this revelation now, because we've already seen in the world, we've seen abortion, all the unwanted. Okay, we've seen abortion. We've seen euthanasia, haven't we? We've seen genocide of all kinds happen in the world already. Unwanted people just put out of existence. We've seen that already. So watch this. These are unwanted people. People that the beast considers crippled or diseased. You know, that's people that you know you don't want around you. That's what the beast sees. Yep, this is where the beast sees people, okay? Soon, those who failed the examination were taken to another room. And in that room, an impressive array of switches, buttons, and gauges lined an entire wall. A door opened and several technicians came in. One of them began to call the names of the people in the room. Without a struggle, they arose when their name was called and marched into a large box. When they were inside, another technician closed the door and pulled a switch in a panel on the wall. A few minutes later, he opened the door, took down a broom and a dustpan, and swept what remained of them off the floor. Nothing but a bit of dust was left of what had been a room full of people. I saw those people who passed the medical exam being put back into the same truck and driven to a train. No one spoke or even turned to look at anyone else. At another building, each person was assigned a job. They all went to work without a single dispute. I watched as they worked very hard at their assigned tasks. And then, at the end of the day, they were taken to an apartment building with a high fence around it. Each undressed and went to bed. Tomorrow they would work hard again. I heard a loud voice fill the night air. I saw a huge beast, and he sat on a large throne. All the people are by the huge beast. The Lord trying to indicate to people that this is not a man. The throne, you know, the throne of the Lord, the Bible says in Jeremiah, I think it's chapter 3, that the throne of the Lord is going to be Jerusalem. It's a rather large throne, isn't it? It indicates the people of God. See? What is going to be the throne of the beast? Where he sits in dominion, spiritually speaking. I mean, the people of the world. That's why this throne is so large. He's going to have dominion over all mankind. Okay? I saw spiritual horns growing from his head. They reached in and out of every place on earth. The horns, the power, you know, the people, the kingdoms. They reached in and out of every place on earth. The beast took upon himself many positions of authority and many offices, and he became great in power. The beast pushed himself into many places and deceived many people. The rich and the famous were deceived, as also were the poor and disfranchised. Small and great paid homage to the beast. A large machine was brought into an office. The beast put his mark on it. If you see anything, stop me, okay? The beast put his mark on it, and his voice came out of it. There was also a Big Brother machine that could see into homes and businesses. Only a single machine of this type existed, and it belonged to the beast. The part of the machine that was located in the homes of the people was invisible to the naked eye, but it could and did report to the beast every move the people made. I've heard other revelations that said the same thing. I'm not sure I understand it, but this is maybe the second or third revelation from different directions that said something very similar about this. Obviously, they're going to have a way of knowing what's going on. They do now. Why? That's true. And not only that, members of the beast may live in your own house. You see? Because the body of the beast is made up of the world. Seven heads, the 10 horns. I watched as the beast turned his throne about and faced me. And on his head, look man, on his forehead was the number 666. Now nowhere in the scriptures and in the theology of tradition does anybody put that mark on the beast himself. See why? You see what I'm talking about? This beast is the people. It's not the man. They see this as a man ruling over people. But this 666 was on the beast himself, on the people. You see what I'm talking about? As I watched, I saw another man in another office become very angry at the beast. He demanded to talk to him. He was yelling at the top of his voice. The beast appeared and seemed very courteous. And he said, "Come, I can help you take care of all of your problems." You know, maybe this guy indicates or symbolizes, you know, groups of people. They're going to bring their grievances to the beast, you know. Have you ever brought a grievance to the beast? You know what happens when you bring a grievance to the beast? Vernon?
This revelation was given to a lady.
You do every time, because if you bring forth Christ, they're immediately your enemies, right? Otherwise, you become absorbed in the system, right? So the beast told him, "Come, I can help you take care of all of your problems." The beast took the angry man into a large room and motioned for him to lie down on a table. The room and the table reminded me of a hospital emergency room. The man was given an anesthesia and wheeled beneath a vast machine. The beast attached the wires to the man's head and turned on the machine. And on the top of the machine were the words, "This mind eraser belongs to the beast, 666. They're going to make your mind like theirs or else. Right? That's what 666 indicates, doesn't it? The world, the earth, and man. And, you know, as we go on, you'll see that this is a spiritual revelation. When the man was removed from the table, his eyes had a vacant stare, and his movements reminded me of a zombie in a movie.
I've learned that
one. I saw a large blank spot on the top of his head, and I knew that his mind had been surgically altered so that he could be controlled by the beast. The beast said, "Now, sir, don't you feel better? Didn't I say I could take care of all your problems? I have given you a new mind, and you will have no worries or troubles now." The man did not speak. "You will obey my every command," said the beast, as he picked up a small object and attached it to the man's shirt. He spoke again to the man, and he answered without moving his lips. He moved like a living dead man. Okay, let me jump a little bit ahead and then come back, okay? Because I want to show you that this machine that changed this man's mind is something similar to what the Lord said. I'm going to jump ahead a couple pages. The Lord said he was going to have a mighty army. And he said, "They will hear my voice. They will answer me. And they will work for me. And they will run like mighty men of war. They shall do great works for me, and I will be with them." It's talking about in the same time period. How do we get to be warriors for the Lord? How do we get to where we can hear His voice? How do we get to where we obey Him? We have to have a mind change. By the renewing of our mind, we begin to be able to hear the voice of the Lord, our leader. But look, this is happening to the world. This machine is in the world right now. You know what I think this machine is? It's the education system. It's the news media. It's all these things that are perverting the world's mind into one mind. You know that corrupt news media. You know, I read one time that they were something like 70% more liberal than the average American. They're continually putting their views on you. Continually. You sit there and listen to them. They're continually perverting the truth, too. If you ever see them cover anything Christian, you'll see them, what I'm talking about. They continually pervert the truth in order to change your mind. The educational system's the same way. We were talking a while back about Deborah going to college, and I told somebody something like that. I imagine a lot of people wouldn't like. And I said, "I don't care if she ever goes to college." I've seen too many Christians go into college and come out completely perverted and given up on their idea of Christianity. and become completely liberal. The colleges are the same as the news media, by the way. They are far more liberal than the average American. This is the devil's machine to pervert people's minds into following the beast. Okay, let me go back where I was. So the man that got off the machine was like a walking dead man. Okay? He said, "You will work and not get angry or frustrated, nor will you cry or be sad. You will work for me till you die." You know, anybody who follows their flesh works for the beast. Did you know that? This is not something supernatural, you know, some fairy tale that's going to happen. You know? This is happening now. If you follow your flesh, you work for the beast. And you got his mind. "I have many like you that I control. Some lie, some kill, some steal, some make war, some have children, some run machinery, and some do other things. Yes, I control everything." This is the beast talking. "I control everything." This beast out of hell. You know, that's going to be visible upon the earth. And even now we can see it becoming visible upon the earth. "I control everything." An evil laugh came from him. The man was handed papers to sign. He gladly gave all of his belongings to the beast. You know, we see the beast now as being very democratic. But you know what? I think it's going to become more socialistic. Yes. You know why it's going to become more socialistic? See, this guy gave all of his belongings to the beast. You know, in socialism, that's what you have. You have the community owning all the property, all the things, but your needs are all met. See, that's the way socialism, that's the way they put forth their front. All of your needs are met. Think what socialism will do. Oh, yeah. Well, not only that, it will cancel the debt. All the poor people who are in debt up to their eyeballs to the world, to the beast, this will cancel out their debt problems. "Look, I give you everything I've got, you know, and you see to all of my needs. I'll have a house to live in, I'll have a car to drive, I'll have what I need. All my needs will be met through this socialistic thing." But it's not going to start out that way. It's starting out democratic. People are choosing this method. But you see, the world is crumbling right now. Why? Because the economic system is crumbling. There's going to have to be some kind of salvation coming to save from this economic crumble. I believe it's going to be this socialistic thing. Anyway, the beast is going to own it all. You know, where Uncle Sam is around the world, he's going to own it all. And they're going to give it to him. In order to be saved. Okay? No more debt. Can you imagine? Look, countries are crumbling because of their debt. That's right. Oh, yeah. Sure, England's got socialized medicine, right? For that very reason.
But that's crumbling apart.
Yep. There's a lot of push in this country to go to socialized medicine. Why? Because so many people can't afford it. Debt. You see? That's the reason for going to socialism. And that's, I believe, is going to happen.
Well, more and more they got into the schools and started off finding free money for them. Now they have the whole
credit.
They
can sell
everything in the
school. Yep. Uncle Sam will meet your needs. So the vision goes on. It says, "In my vision I saw the man leave the office of the beast and get into a car and drive home. When he approached his wife, she tried to kiss him, but he made no attempt to respond. He had no feeling for his wife or anyone else. The beast had made him incapable of feeling any emotion." You know, the Bible says, "Because iniquity abounds, the love of many shall grow cold." Can't you see that? You know, people don't care anything about killing anymore because they see so much of it on TV. You know, you see so much more killing now than you did because what? because people were involved in killing, going to war, for one thing. Because people are involved in killing because they're watching on TV. They see all the immorality on TV. Yeah, I just saw that. Right. Isn't that amazing? Because they see a movie, they go out and kill each other, you know. Well, because people watch pornography, they go out and do it, right?
There was a film a while ago on suicide, that was a couple of kids that committed suicide, and they showed that in the school. Apparently, it was a rate of suicide.
Yeah. The Lord said, He'll take away from us a heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh. People are having a heart of stone because of the iniquity that's rampant. You know? The wife became very angry and screamed at her husband, but to no avail. At last she said, okay, I'll call the beast. He'll know what to do. Yeah. After a quick phone call, she left the house and drove to the same building her husband had just left. The beast welcomed her in and said, tell me all your troubles. I am sure I can help you. A very handsome man took her by the arm and led her to the same table her husband had been on earlier. After the same operation, she also became depersonalized, slave of the beast. Again, education, I think. News media, so on and so forth. I heard the beast ask her, how do you feel? She did not answer until after he had attached a small object to her blouse. Then she acknowledged that he was master and lord and began to worship him. You will be a breeder, he said. You will have perfect babies, and they will worship and serve me. Of course, this is in the mind of the beast, right? She will have perfect babies in his mind, right? Okay? The woman replied in a robotic voice, yes, master, I will obey. You know, what is happening in the world today? Mothers are bringing up their children. Some of the most blessed are those that have their children die at birth. But mothers are bringing up their children to have the mind of the beast. Are they not? That's exactly what's happening. I saw the woman again. This time, she was in another building. There were many pregnant women there. The women lay lifeless on their beds, in chanted monotones, praising the beast. All had 666 on their forehead. I think one of the most popular things that's going to come along is this system of the beast, because it's going to save so many people. Yeah. When their babies were born, they were taken to another building where mind-altered nurses had the task of raising them. Well, that's true, too. You know, you send your kid to the public school, you're sending them to a mind-altered nurse a lot of times. See what I'm talking about? And they're raising them up in the mind of the beast. The nurses also had 666 on their forehead. Right? And, you know, the more we get in this direction and the less love people have, the more they're going to want to give their kids over to other people to take care of them in the nurseries and the daycares and in the schools and so on and so forth. They'd rather somebody else raise them because they don't have the love, you know. And these people are going to raise them, of course. I mean, you've been watching what's going on in the public schools. You can see what's happening, you know. Perversion being plowed into their heads, you know. The nurses also had 666 on their forehead. The beast grew in power until his empire stretched across the earth. The beast also grew. I mean, the babies also grew. And at a certain time, they also went beneath the mind-destroying machine. They worshipped the beast and his image, but the machine had no power over the children of God. Now, if you remember back at the beginning of this revelation, God said his bride wasn't going to see this revelation. Okay? So obviously there's some people of God on earth that aren't the bride in this revelation. And this machine had no power over them. You know why? Because their minds are renewed with the Word of God. You can't put that garbage in a Christian's mind if he's going to hold on to the Word of God. If it goes in there, he's not a Christian.
So are they the ones that may be going through tribulation?
Yes, these are definitely talking about the people of God going through tribulation. Yeah. going during the time of the beast, the mark of the beast. You see, that's the second 3.5 years that this mark of the beast is going to be given. It's going to be under the reign of the beast. But the machine had no power over the children of God. Just as we look at the news media and we see them as perverted, we listen to what the teachers teach in the public schools and we know it's perversion. We listen to the lost relatives, neighbors around us, and we know they don't know what they're talking about. It has no effect on us because of the Word of God has inoculated us to their seed. You see what I mean? I heard the voice of the Lord say, "Those that worship the beast and his image shall perish. Many shall be deceived and will fall, but I will save my children from the beast." These things will take place in the end times. But do not take the mark of the beast. Repent now before it's too late. He said, repent now before it's too late. A lot of people think, yeah, when all this stuff starts showing up, then I'll straighten up my life. But believe me, what they think is this beast, you know, going to show up. You know? They said they think to themselves, I'll wait till such and such happens. I'll wait till the covenant is made. I'll wait till and then I'll start changing my ways. But you see, all that time, your spirits are taking the mark of the beast. When he comes along, those people are going to be deceived. See, they're going to accept because of their humanistic thinking, their humanistic mind. See, what we're doing now, we're repenting. So that in that day, we won't be deceived. You see what I'm talking about? Because if possible, the Bible says, even the elect will be deceived. Yeah? That's right. Repent now before it's too late. The beast will call himself a man of peace. That's what the UN's been set up for, by the way. A man of peace. And he will bring peace to many nations. He will bring peace to many nations. And out of a very chaotic time, he will be able to supply the world with many inexpensive goods. And he will assure that everyone's pay is sufficient. Socialism, again. Huh? No, you won't. He will make an alliance, listen, he will make an alliance with many nations. And the great men of the world will follow him into a false sense of security. He's going to make an alliance with many nations. You know something? The Lord pointed out to me one time. This is not traditional again. But in Daniel 9, where it's talking about the rising up of the beast, it said he would make a firm covenant with many for 1 week. He didn't say he would make a covenant with the Jews for 1 week. He said he would make a firm... Why is it such a firm covenant? You know why it's such a firm covenant? It's because they all have the same mind. And with many. Didn't say Jews, didn't say Christians, didn't say the world. It said with many. I looked the word up. Wrote a note here. According to Strong's, it just means abundant in quantity and quality. It doesn't mean many as opposed to all. But we know he's not going to make the covenant with all because his machine had no effect upon the Christians, right? So he's not going to make it with all. But an abundant group of people, a great, large group of people, he's going to make a covenant with. Again, people have seen this prophecy as only talking about the covenant that the beast is going to make with the Jews. Okay, that's coming. But he's also going to make a covenant with the whole world. Christians are in the whole world. You see what I'm talking about? That was in Daniel 9 and 27. Yeah. It's all the time God's given him, for one thing. But anyway... It is true, I believe, that the UN is going to make a covenant with Israel. That's true. But you know something? It's not just literal Israel that we're involved with there. It's spiritual Israel, the church. And God, and this covenant is going to be broken with the church, too. This covenant of peace with all nations, right? Because the beast is going to turn against Christ, the Antichrist against Christ. So he'll make an alliance with many nations, and the great men of the world will follow him into a false sense of security. Before these times, I will raise up an army, the Lord said, of believers that will stand for truth and righteousness. The mighty army will hear my voice from the rising to the going down of the sun. They're going to hear the Lord's voice. In the night hours also they will hear my voice, and they will answer me, and they will work for me, and they will run like mighty men of war. They shall do great works for me, for I will be with them. It also says that, by the way, in Daniel 11 and 32. But the people who know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And they that are wise among the people shall instruct many. Yet they shall fall by the sword and by flame, by captivity and by spoil many days. Even though they're going to conquer in the spirit, they're going to lose in the flesh. Same happened with Jesus, right? He was conquered in the flesh, but he conquered in the spirit, right? So that's the way it's going to be in the world, too, because the beast is going to be given power, according to Revelation 13, over the bodies of the saints. But they're going to conquer him in the spirit. That was Daniel 11, 32, 33. All these things were revealed to me by the Lord Jesus Christ in an open vision. They are the words of his mouth, and they concern the times of the end. Jesus and I returned home, and I wondered about the things that he had shown me and told me. I fell asleep praying for the salvation of all mankind. Okay, here's some more. This is a chapter on the mark of the beast. Okay? I heard the Lord say, my spirit will not always strive with man. Come and see the beast. During the last days, an evil beast will arise out of the earth and deceive many from every nation upon the earth. From every nation upon the earth. He will demand that everyone receive his mark, the number 666, placed on their hands or on their foreheads. Anyone who takes the mark will belong to the beast, and will be thrown with him into the lake of fire, which burns with fire and brimstone. The beast will arise to the acclamation of the world. In other words, he's not going to conquer the world. He's going to arise to the acclamation of the world. For he will bring peace and prosperity, such as none can remember. When he has gained world dominion, those without his mark in their foreheads or on their hands will not be able to buy food, clothes, cars, houses, or anything else that is bought. When he has gained world dominion, it says this. Well, let me read on, because I think it has something to say about that too. Neither will they be able to sell anything that they own. You won't be able to sell anything you own to anyone else unless they have the mark. Oh, by the way, if you don't pay the taxes on your house, they can come get that. You know that? Your property taxes. Somebody else can buy it right after Monday, can't they? Mm-hmm. So you got to be able to buy or sell. No use loving your goods, because if you love your goods, you're going to take the mark. You know? The Lord God expressly declares that those who take the mark have affirmed their allegiance to the beast and will be cut off from the Lord God forever. They will have their place with the unbelievers and workers of iniquity. Notice it puts those in two categories, the unbelievers and workers of iniquity. Because there are some believers who are going to be workers of iniquity and going to be deceived and are going to fall away. The mark states simply that those who possess it have rejected God and have turned to the beast for sustenance. The beast and his followers will persecute those who refuse the mark and will kill many of them. Whatever pressures they can bring to bear will be used to force believers of the true God to be marked. Children and infants will be killed before the eyes of the parents who refuse to take the mark. There will be a time of great mourning. Those who possess the mark will be forced to turn over their possessions to the beast in exchange for a promise that the beast will meet all the needs of his followers. Socialism. Huh? Remember Naboth's vineyard? That Naboth wouldn't give his vineyard to the beast, Ahab, right? And so the beast's wife, Jezebel, got the leaders of that town, which also is the beast, right? Okay, to kill Naboth and make up false accusations against him. So that the beast could have his vineyard. Well, the beast's going to get what he wants, isn't he? One way or another. When they kill you, they can have what you've got, right? But then you've got what God's got. So just remember Naboth's vineyard. It wasn't right for him to give what was God's to the beast, right? The beast took it. Some of you will weaken, some of you will weaken and surrender to the beast and receive his mark in your hand or on your forehead. The great falling away, right? There's a great falling away. A third of the stars of heaven will be cast to the earth. The lukewarm will be spewed out of the body of Christ. Okay? Some of you will weaken and surrender. Some people who love the world, I imagine, will not want to give it up. Or some people who don't trust in God will not want the fear of being thrust only upon the mercy of God. Instead, they'll turn to the beast for sustenance. You will say, God will forgive, God will understand, but I will not repent of my word. I have warned you repeatedly through the mouths of my prophets and ministers of the gospel. Repent now while it is still day, for the night comes when judgment will be set forever. And we read in the book of Revelation, when there's a time comes when there's not one more person repents on the face of this earth. If you do not obey the beast and refuse to take his mark, I will take care of you. I do not say that many will not have to die for their faith in these times. For many will be beheaded for trusting the Lord God. But blessed are those who die in the Lord, for great will be their reward. True, there will be a time of peace and prosperity during which the beast will gain popularity and esteem. He will make the problems of the world as though they were not. A short period of time when he's going to seem to be the solver of the world's problems, you know. We've seen a foreshadowing of it, you know, with this madman Hussein that was raised up over there and the beast took care of him. He looked like the Savior, you know. The beast became very popular because of that. You know, even we've seen on the news media where there were famine problems around the world, they started calling upon the UN to orchestrate relief for that famine. You know? The beast is becoming more and more popular. But the peace will end in bloodshed and the prosperity in great famine across the land. Once everybody puts their trust in the beast, it's going to be too late. Fear not what man can do to you. but fear him who can cast your soul and body into hell. For though there is great persecution, and though tribulations are multiplied, I will deliver you through them all. But before that evil day, I will raise up a mighty army that will worship me in spirit and in truth. The army of the Lord will do great exploits and wonderful things for me. Therefore, come together and worship me in spirit and in truth. Bring in the fruits of righteousness and give me what is rightfully mine, and I will keep you from the evil hour. Repent now and be saved from the terrible things which will befall the rebellious and the unsaved. Two groups. Notice that. I'm going to read that one again. Repent now and be saved from the terrible things which will befall the rebellious and the unsaved. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Call on me while you may, and I will accept you and forgive you. I love you and do not desire that you should be lost. Believe this report and live. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Continually, there's a warning in here. Repent now while there's still time. Many people think there's time later. They're continually putting off the day of salvation. But the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Let me read one more thing here, okay? The return of Christ. That's the name of this chapter. I saw the coming of the Lord, and I heard his call like the sound of a trumpet and the voice of an archangel. And the whole earth shook, and out of the graves came the righteous dead to meet their Lord in the air. For hours, it seemed, I heard the horns blow, and the earth and the sea gave up their dead. The Lord Jesus Christ stood atop the clouds in vestments of fire and beheld the glorious scene. I heard the sound of trumpets again, and as I watched, those who were alive and remained on the earth ascended to meet him. Notice, these revelations were given in order, you see. But you notice, this revelation is not at the beginning of the tribulation. It's at the end of the tribulation. See? It was given to the angels to keep order. Now, wait a minute. Listen. I heard the sound of trumpets again, and as I watched, those that were alive and remained on the earth ascended to meet them. I saw the redeemed as millions of points of light converging on a gathering place in the sky. There the angels gave them robes of purest white. There was great rejoicing. It was given to the angels to keep order. And they seemed to be everywhere giving special attention to the risen ones. A new body was given to the redeemed, and they were transformed as they passed through the air. Great joy and happiness filled the heavens, and the angels sang, "Glory to the King of Kings." High in the heavens I beheld a large spiritual body. It was the body of Christ. And the body was lying on its back on a bed. And blood dripped to the earth. Kind of reminds you of Cain and Abel, doesn't it? The beast putting to death the seed of Christ. I knew that this was the slain body of our Lord. Then the body grew larger and larger until it filled the heavens. And going into and out of it were millions of the redeemed. Notice that. Going into this body and out of it. No, not in the end. Were millions of the redeemed. I watched in astonishment as millions climbed up stairs to the body and filled it. Again, this is a spiritual revelation, right? Beginning with the feet and continuing through the legs, the arms, the stomach, the head, the heart, and the head, And when it was full, I saw that it was filled with men and women from every nation, people, tongue, and tongue on the earth. And with a mighty voice, they praised the Lord. Millions were seated before the throne, and I saw angels as they brought the books from which the judgment was read. There was the mercy seat, and rewards were given to many. Then, as I watched, darkness covered the face of the earth. Okay? If you remember, as we studied this, what followed the coming of the Lord and the taking out of His redeemed was the day of the Lord, the great and terrible day of the Lord. Then, as I watched, darkness covered the face of the earth, and demon forces were everywhere. Countless evil spirits had been loosed from their prison and spilled forth onto the earth. Remember reading that in Revelation, how the pit was opened and the earth was filled with demon forces. I heard the Lord say, "Woe to the inhabitants of the earth, for Satan has come to dwell among you." I saw an angry beast, and he poured out his venom upon all the earth. You know, during this time, the beast is going to be breaking up into factions. And Daniel described this revelation to us. You know, the king of the north coming against the king of the south. Great wars, the greatest wars the world has ever known, right there, you know. Armageddon is there, you know. Great outpouring of wrath on the whole earth. Yeah. And I saw an angry beast, and he poured out his venom upon all the earth. Hell shook in its fury. And from the bottomless pit came swarming hordes of evil creatures to blacken the earth with their vast numbers. Men and women ran crying to the hills and the caves and the mountains. And there was war upon the earth and famine and death. At last I saw horses of fire and chariots in the heavens. The earth trembled, and the sun turned red like blood. And the angel said, "Hear, O earth, the king is coming." And there appeared in the sky the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and with him were the saints of all ages, clad in purest white. And I remembered that every eye shall behold him, and every knee shall bow before him. Then the angels put in their sickles and harvested the ripened grain. This is the reaping of the wicked. You remember in Revelation 14 there were two reapings. There was a righteous reaping, and then there was a reaping that many people even recognize as Armageddon, where the blood will flow to the horses' bridles. You know, there was a terrible reaping. And this reaping was thrown into the winepress of the wrath of God. This is a reaping of the wicked, okay?
The righteous is
going to
sleep off my
benefit. You think so? Jesus said, "Repent and be saved, for the kingdom of God is at hand. My will and my word will be performed. Prepare the way of the Lord." And I thought, we must love one another. We must be firm in the truth and correct our children in the light of the soon coming of Christ. For surely the King is coming. Anybody have any comments?
I just wondered,
no, in Revelation 14, it's not. These are the first fruits on the God and Lamb. Revelation 14 covers the tribulation period from beginning to end. The first fruits on the God and the Lamb, that is the bride that is not going to see the rest of that revelation we just read about. Okay? But the time of the beast is from 9 through 12. And he talks about the patience of the saints in verse 12 during the time of the marking of the beast, right? Right. And those who die in the Lord in verse 13. Okay? That's those who are beheaded or whatever, who die in the Lord. Then there is a reaping of those who are alive and remain and the dead in Christ from 14 through 16. from 14 through 16, there's a reaping of the we that are alive and remain and the dead in Christ. Bringing them to heaven and manifesting their new bodies and so on and so forth. And from 17 through the end is this great reaping that we just read about just now, of the wrath of God, the reaping of the earth, the destruction of the beast, the destruction of his kingdom, the casting into the lake of fire the beast and the false prophet and the dragon. You know? I thought this was really good. It really exhorted me. You know, I can't pass this around right now, but if anybody would like to, they can order one from these people, you know. And I will be able to pass this one around pretty soon. But I thought it was really good exhortation. But there's a greater exhortation in here on hell, because he describes hell vividly. He describes the people that are there. He describes the preachers that are there. He describes the backslidden Christians that are there. It describes the wicked world over there. A divine revelation of hell. Mary Baxter. She got started getting this revelation, I believe, in 76. It took some time for it to all come. She wrote the book in 87. But it says for additional books and audio tape cassettes of the Divine Revelation of Hell, order from the National Church of God, Post Office Box 54095, Washington, D.C., 20032. So, any of you would like to order those, that would be good. But I believe these times are very soon. We can see the foundation of it now. We can see the foundation being laid for the beast to control the earth. We can see people praising the beast right and left. Everywhere you go, they're praising the beast. This is going to really seem the salvation of the world. Every nation right now is trying to find a way out of their financial bondage. And the beast is going to give that.